Welcome back to the Pistols Firing Podcast. We are back at it, back together again. Kyle Porter joins me from you're back from Los Angeles, correct?
I'm back from Los Angeles. Flew in last Saturday. I thought that I was being usurped. My co-hosting position was being taken over by a national radio broadcaster.
I think Doug did take your spot. Like, this is just a guest appearance by you. It's like your company was like seized while you were gone, and like you're no longer a part of it. Like, there's a cardboard box sitting on your porch with like the rights to Pistols Firing website, but like we branched off the podcast.
Kyle Boone changed all the passwords. I actually can't, I can't even get in it anymore.
You're totally locked out.
No, I listened to. So I'm in LA for it's called the Northern Trust Open, but it's at Riviera Country Club, which is the coolest. I don't know how many people listen. I don't know what the Venn diagram is between Oklahoma State fans and like been at Riviera Country Club. It can't be that big, but it's spectacular. A lot of guys on tour say that it's their favorite course they play all year outside of Augusta.
Wow. You couldn't convince CBS to send you out there for the Pebble Beach tournament as well?
Well, so that wasn't really a CBS deal. I tried to convince my wife that we should go out there for the Super Bowl. I could drive down to Pebble for the next week and then drive down to LA for the next week. But once I started adding it up, I was going to be gone for like 20 days or something. So I never really approached CBS with that. But yeah, there was a Nike event that you would have enjoyed on Monday night that we went to.
Oh, man.
Hung out with my brother a little bit. But what I was going to say is I listened to the Gottlieb podcast, and it was awesome. I loved it. I thought it was even better than the first one. And I don't know. You get the sense that he is somebody who knows what he's doing. He's calculated in what he's doing. And it really makes you feel like that no matter what he chooses to do in life, whatever profession, whether it's broadcasting, coaching, whatever, that he'd be very good at it. And that's kind of what I guess that was kind of the overall thing that I gleaned from listening to it.
Well, I appreciate the kind words. Without you, the podcast, I felt a little weird doing it without you, but I do think we talked more about timely stuff that's going on with him, with you know, Bill Self.
Yeah.
We talked a lot about current events, almost more so than, you know, years past. And I could listen to Doug talk about OSU basketball history forever. And that's one of my biggest takeaways. And I tried to ask him about it, and I didn't ask that great a question. But just the passion that he has, you can just tell, like, he doesn't get to talk about OSU basketball ever at CBS or just college basketball in general. He made a point that they're supposed to talk NFL, big picture stuff. So,
well, that was
cool to hear him just the passion just come out of him.
That was one of my favorite moments when you said, did doing the podcast make you feel more, you know, did it kind of reawaken? I can't remember what the words you used, but your passion for OSU. And he goes, no, not really. Like, it's just there.
Yeah.
And I knew what you were getting at, but his response was pretty funny.
Yeah, it was hilarious. And like the reason I asked him that was like I used a clip from him, you know, pleading that Eddie Sutton get in the Hall of Fame. And he had to do like 5 minutes of just kind of explaining to his listener who the hell Eddie Sutton was, which blew me away. Because, you know, like here,
yeah,
of course, we all know who Eddie is. You don't need to explain. But like nationally, you kind of do. He's been out of the sport a while. And that's kind of what I was getting at with his radio show and how he never really gets a chance to talk about OSU basketball. And two, I think he did a remarkable job. He's in a very tough position. I'm kind of surprised he came on twice, to be honest with you. Because he's in a very precarious position where everyone knows he's a candidate for the OSU basketball job if Travis Ford gets let go. He has to choose his words very carefully. And I thought he sold himself without selling himself to the max. I think everyone I've talked to that's an OSU fan, if they were on the fence about Doug, they have leapt over it and ran into the yard. Like, they're just all in. Because I think he did a great job of explaining not only just, you know, the lineage he has with his dad and the lineage he has with Eddie Sutton, but just the fact that he's been around the sport. He's not just been some talking head. I think he did a great job of explaining that, no, I am a viable coaching candidate, and that's something I would like to do. Whereas, you know, Kyle, you know, I've talked about it in years past. Like, oh, that'd be kind of fun if Doug was a candidate. And you and I have talked about it for years now. But I think it really kind of became a reality in people's heads listening to him talk.
Well, I thought what was interesting is he talked about the Brad Stevens stuff, which I laughed at the idea or the visual, the image of me like worshiping at the altar of Brad Stevens. But he talked about the Stevens stuff, and I thought what was super interesting about that is he talked about how Holder and him kind of not collaborated, but he at least like advised him a little bit, like on different coaches, and that's very smart of Holder. Not even just to go to Gottlieb, but to go to any type of broadcaster that does these games around the country and interacts with smaller school coaches and stuff like that. But what was interesting to me is that he didn't even insinuate that he would have considered like having the job or wanting the job back then. Now that was, I mean, he was like our age that, you know, our age right now, whenever that was going on, he was super young. Like he was in his early 30s.
Yeah. I think he was just trying to make it back then.
Yeah. So
I mean, he made it, but you know what I mean?
Right. So that's probably why, but I thought that was interesting because now, you know, I think he said on our first podcast, he goes, you know, you're 40 and you, you're trying to figure out like, is this all you want in life or do you want something different? And, yeah, I mean, the feedback that we got certainly from both podcasts was, hey, you know, I might not be all in on this, but I at least see why he would be good or why this is a viable option.
Absolutely. And I think the thing about Doug is I think when you start talking about coaching candidates, his ceiling to me is about as high as you possibly can go. Now, his floor is pretty low too because he's never coached. And there's going to be a strict learning curve in the Big 12. You're going up against some big-time coaches, no doubt. But I don't think there's a hire you could make that could excite the fan base more than Doug. Now, there's this report from Pat Forty out that Greg Marshall would be a candidate. I think if Greg Marshall wants to come to OSU, he's the first call you have to make. I mean, the guy's made a Final Four. He's one of the best coaches in the country. Now, whether he would come or not, I don't know. But
didn't Greg Marshall like turn down UCLA a couple years ago?
I think so.
I mean, what? Like, I feel like Pat Forty was just like, oh, Greg Marshall, that's close to Stillwater. Like, let's, you know.
Right. And he makes like $3.5 million a year. So yeah. That's a whole other issue. But my point in bringing him up is, you have to do your due diligence. You have to see what kind of head coaches, established head coaches, you can get. But I don't think there's one out there that will move the needle like Doug would. And I think there is something too. We've talked ad nauseum about OSU alums coaching. Like, just look at Gundy, John Smith, Josh Holliday. Like, for whatever the reason is, it seemed to have worked in Stillwater. I think there is a lot to like about Doug, and I think he did a great job selling it without truly selling it.
Well, I would argue against that, against the Greg Marshall thing. If you, just from a business standpoint, if you put Greg Marshall and Doug Gottlieb in front of Mike Holder and said, hey, you know, what's the best business decision to be made here? If you have to pay Greg Marshall $4 million, is what he can offer you beyond what Doug Gottlieb can offer you worth the difference in what their salaries would be? I mean, maybe it is, but I don't know that that's the best business decision to make. Greg Marshall's probably would be a better coach at Oklahoma State than Doug Gottlieb. I don't know that he would. He probably would be, but just when you look at the money, I don't know if you can do that with if Travis Ford gets fired, what you still owe him and all that. So I don't know. It's going to be really interesting to see how the next couple of months play out. I mean, I know we talk about this every podcast, but right now, February 18th, do we think Travis Ford is getting fired before the NCAA tournament starts?
Before, what date would that be?
It's usually the middle of March 15th, March, I mean, whatever.
Do I think he's getting fired? Yes. Do I think there's any way they can bring him back? No. Now, do I know anything inside information? No, I don't. Do I know what the finances are, if they can afford it? No, I don't. But here's what I do know. It's reached rock bottom. The Galagraiba is completely empty.
Yeah.
You can't, as an athletic director who is in charge of your athletic department, you can't allow that. Like, you can't, that has to stop. I think the getting Marcus Smart really stemmed the tide for a couple years. But we're down to where it was probably heading before we got Marcus Smart. And no one's showing up. There's apathy. Can you imagine, Kyle, how many season tickets will probably be canceled if they were to bring him back for another year?
Well,
I don't think you could do it.
Yeah. And Gottlieb mentioned this. I feel bad for him in a way because you're without your two best players. And a lot of it is not necessarily your fault. Now, a lot of it is. Like, a lot of it is he's just not done a good job. But I think you're right. I think at some point Holder just has to say, hey, this, you know, you're a good dude. Like, you gave it a great shot. You made a ton of money. It's just not working out. You know, like, it's just not working. And I think you're probably right. I think that will happen after this season.
Yeah, and Travis has had some bad breaks, but every coach has injuries. Every coach has bad breaks, you know. And whose fault is it that he has no one besides Forte and Evans? I mean, that's his fault. Like, he recruits the players. So I don't feel bad for him at all. I do wonder if Holder will make the move. I'm to the point now, Kyle. I think I'd actually be surprised if he didn't get fired. I think I'm to that point.
You know, I was thinking about the people who still contend, hey, Doug Gottlieb's never coached before. You know, like what do you say to those people? Because that's a real thing. Like, he hasn't coached.
What I say to those people is, and Doug mentioned this, he could have gone and coached, been an assistant at, I don't know, Sonoma State, you know, what, mid-major U. But his experience that he brought up, learning from each coach that he's covered, is a big deal. And the thing that I've always said about Doug is he's got it in his blood, man. His dad was a coach. His brother is one, like, the longest tenured assistant in the Pac-12. Like, he's not just some former ex-player who's good at talking on a microphone. That's not what he is. Like, you just hear the guy talk for 5 minutes about basketball, and you know he's forgotten more than most people on earth will ever know about basketball. So, and to me, coaching is mostly, and he brought this up too, is mostly getting players. Do I think Doug Gottlieb will get players? You bet your ass. Do you think he's leaving a little?
Have you seen Friday Night Lights, the TV show?
I haven't watched all of it, but I've watched some of it.
You sound like Coach Taylor right now. You bet your ass. We're gonna beat Arnett Mead on Friday night.
Well, there's 0% chance he's leaving that living room without a commitment. And
I were ready to go play. Like,
exactly. What, yeah.
Well, scout team. Like, we'll like, quit think, our jobs. We'll just my, go play
right.
scout team.
My overall point is, I think people make coaching to be more than it really is. I mean, really, it's he'll have to learn on the fly. He'll have, like, it's one thing to criticize after the fact on television what a coach should or shouldn't have done. It's another thing to make in-game decisions. That's something he's going to have to learn how to do. But I think people are making, when they say college basketball is like quantum physics, like, it's not really not that complicated. Go get better players than the guys you're playing, hire good assistants, and that's most of what the job is. And I think he knows how to do that.
Well, and I was thinking about this from a personal standpoint because I write about golf for CBS, obviously. It's my fourth year to do it. When I got hired, I had never written about golf in my life other than a couple of blog posts about Ricky Fowler on Pistols Firing. And wow. So, like, when I think about it from that perspective, like, it's obviously it's a much lesser scale. There's a lot less money. The stakes are a lot lower. There's not as many business decisions to be made there, but it's worked out for both sides. And my point in that is, like, I think that people think that, like, is experience meaningful? Sure. But is it everything? No, absolutely. I mean, like, you would never, like, Gottlieb talked about Tom Izzo. Like, he was successful, like, from the beginning. Like, he didn't have to, I mean, he's still successful now, but he didn't have, like, 50 years of buildup, and then he was successful. Like, he just got into it and worked hard and did it. And I think that, you know, I think I'm going to write about this later on, but I just look at my own personal journey within sports media of, like, hey, I ran this blog for a couple of years. That's like Doug Gottlieb being around college basketball for all these years. You know, I had never written about golf, but I knew what it took to run at least a somewhat good blog. And so then when I did get into golf writing, I sort of understood it. I had to get familiar with it. Like, I didn't know all the players. I had to do a lot of legwork, but it worked out. And so I think the same, obviously on a much grander scale, could be true of Gottlieb.
I agree with everything you said. And two, here's another reality that OSU basketball has to really come to grips with. Who are you really going to be able to hire? I mean, the program has been, it's as low as it's been since probably the 80s. I mean, who are you going to hire that's going to really do anything for you? I mean, I think the fact the money is a big factor in Doug's chances. I think that helps him tremendously, the fact that he will probably take less than what most candidates would. And two, like, OSU's not that attractive a job right now. I mean, the Big 12 is a gauntlet, and they're dormant right now.
Yeah, I agree.
And like you mentioned the experience thing, Mike Gundy was young. How old was Mike Gundy when he got hired?
Well, he was a man. He was 40 in 2008. He got hired, so 37?
Yeah, he had been an assistant coach for a few years. He'd been an offensive coordinator, so it's not a direct comparison. But he had to learn how to be a head coach.
Yeah.
And it took him a couple years, which I think if you hire Doug, you better give him about a five-year deal and let him kind of grow into the position. You got to be prepared to grow with him. But I just think he's exactly what is needed. I think people didn't dislike Travis. They just had no connection to him whatsoever. And I think that would be the total opposite with Doug.
Yeah, hey, I'm all in. Like, I'm you know, I'm with Gottlieb. I hate, and I haven't, I don't think I've officially done this publicly, and I try not to do it during the season, but I don't want to call for Ford's job, and I know you have, and there are reasons for that, but I like to wait until the end of the season. But the day after the season ends, there's going to be, it's happening. Like, there's going to be some things happening, so.
Well, and I'm kind of done doing that too. Like, I'm not going to do it after every loss. You know what I mean? Like, I feel bad for the players. I mean, people know where I stand. People know where I stand with Travis. So it is what it is, I guess, as the old cliche goes. But I had something else to bring up to you. I can't remember what it was.
Did you see Simmons' new site?
Yes. The question I had the question I had for you: if they hire Doug, are we invited to the introductory presser? Like, is he going to put us second row, third row, or first?
It's gonna be his wife, then Eddie, and then you, and then and then maybe one of his kids, and then me, and then another one of his kids.
And then Adrian Peterson and Desmond. we won't get invited, but it's okay. We appreciate Doug coming on. It's been fantastic having him on. And
oh yeah, like,
how great of a storyteller is he, by the way?
Well, he's awesome. I texted you the him calling tractor trailer truck was like the greatest thing I've ever heard.
I about fell out of my chair.
It was so funny.
Like, you called him truck,
but then
that's amazing.
But then him talking about like players knowing their numbers. Like their stats after games.
Uh-huh.
I was like, that's so true. Like, everybody knows their stats.
It's so true.
Like I would know how many points I had in a pickup game at the Colvin. So there's no way that, like, Jeff Newberry doesn't know how many points he had against Texas on a Saturday night. But
so true.
Yeah, he was great. I'm super appreciative of his time, his willingness to just talk about a lot of different things on the podcast. I feel like you threw a lot of questions at him, a lot of different questions, and he had a ton of stories. He was awesome. I loved it.
His Eddie Sutton impersonation is pretty good too.
It's pretty good. We need to get him and Desmond in the same room to do that.
Yeah, I think Desmond took issue with him on the first pod when he said that he couldn't dribble or shoot when he got on campus. So we might have to let Desmond have a rebuttal.
Hey, Desmond can come on for three podcasts in a row if he wants to.
Yeah, it was good. It's good to have him on.
Yeah, it's awesome. Okay, Simmons' side. Do you want to talk about it?
Yeah, like The Ringer. Like, wasn't that a terrible Johnny Knoxville movie?
Yeah. Do you think that they'll get into like Big 12 basketball podcasting? Because we could.
They do.
We could be hired.
A niche, they need a niche market of OSU basketball. They know who to call.
Yeah, I just read an article on by Richard Deitch on SI about he interviewed Sean Finnessy, who's the editor of the news site, and he said they're going to talk about, it's going to be a little bit like Grantland, but they're going to talk about food and maybe some like technology stuff. Wow. I don't know. I'm pretty interested. I feel like it's going to be different, and then I feel like it's going to be really heavy on podcasts and not as much on writing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Well, have you listened to Simmons talked about it recently on his latest podcast about what it will be and everything? And it was pretty fascinating.
He
was just by himself. Like, it was by himself before he brought on a guest. He just talked at length about the new site and what's going to happen. And basically, the weirdest part to me is it's like it's still going to be like, I don't know how he's doing it, because he's doing this TV show for HBO, and he said he's pouring like everything he has into that as far as himself. That's why he's hired all these people to do all the work on the site. So I don't know. Like, I loved Grantland. I loved it. Now, there's sometimes that I look at the article and it was too long and I wouldn't read it, but I genuinely loved Grantland. So it's going to be interesting to see how much it compares to that and what, like you said, like food and stuff. Like, I guess it'll be even branching out even more. So I'm interested to see what it is. And if anyone can pull it off, it's Simmons. The guy hasn't failed yet.
Yeah. No, it's going to be... It's going to be really interesting. I mean, are you intrigued generally by news sites and sports media and stuff like that?
Yeah, I am. And more so for me, like what I do, like, you know, I work at a local TV station and people my age don't really watch the news. I tell them what I do, like, oh, I don't watch the news, but I get recognized.
They tell you that?
Yeah, they do.
That's kind of a terrible thing to say.
I get that all the time from people my age. Now, I get recognized a lot by older people at like Walmart and stuff. Like, I get recognized all the time.
Like the greeters at Walmart?
Greeters, shoppers, what have you, you know? Old ladies are my target demographic.
That's amazing.
But my point in that is I do wonder, when I'm that age, will I still be watching local news or will I be getting it through some other medium? So I am very interested to see where media comes from, because – like, I work for the news, but like, I get most of my information through online stuff and I read online mostly. And so I'm interested to see how it continues to mold and evolve, for sure.
Well, I think the most interesting thing, and this got brought up, I don't know how much I want to get into this, but this got brought up in that big lead article that was written about CBS. And so.
Don't get fired.
Yeah. Yeah. I won't. So. What happens now is that athletes and teams and organizations, not only in sports, but you see this in politics, entertainment, whatever, they try to control their message, control their brand, hashtag branding, as much as they can. And so you don't get as much breaking news as you used to. And so because of that, because news is ubiquitous, because everybody kind of gets it at the same time, because Tiger Woods releases a statement on his website. Well, nobody broke that. Like, it's just out there. Like, it's just news. Like, everyone has access to that. He owns it, sort of, but it's presumed that everyone is going to just copy and paste quotes from his website to their websites. And so what happens is you have to find people who can create really good context and have really good takes around, like, this news that's out there. And I think that's what I'm... Certainly, like, breaking news stories still happen, but I think they happen and I think they will happen less and less and less as, I mean, we've seen this with Oklahoma State. Like, they have done a good job of controlling their message of they still let people be interviewed, but it's, I certainly don't think it's what it was in the 80s and 90s and even early 2000s.
Very true. And the thing like you mentioned, like, when a big breaking news story happens, like, I'm looking more for what you mentioned, a good take on it, a good opinion on it, a good way of talking about it. Like, that's what I seek out way more than just the actual news itself. Like, half the time when I see a news story, I just read the headline.
Yeah.
Like, okay, that happened. So yeah. Moving on.
Yeah.
I don't even click on it to read in depth, hardly, unless it's something very, you know, very pertinent or very important. But I think that's kind of what in that article got gleaned over, glossed over, not even talked about, was like, well, you're providing more than just repurposing stuff. Like, you're giving perspective, you're giving opinion. Like, there's a reason people are clicking on it too, not just for the story itself.
Yeah, I mean, I think a great example of that is somebody that we both like, Zach Lowe, who's an NBA writer for ESPN. But like, if I see on, I don't know, Twitter or AP or whatever, that James Harden was traded from the Rockets to the Hawks or whatever. I'm making this up, obviously. I'm not going to read like the AP story. I'm going to go to Zach Lowe's Twitter feed and see what he had to say about it. Because,
exactly.
Because I want him to provide some context. What does this mean for the Rockets? What is it? You know, whatever. So yeah, I think that people who are able to do that, and it's a difficult thing to do. I think it's sort of like sneaky difficult, are very valuable for different companies.
For sure.
Okay, so speaking of NBA, do you want to talk about the Thunder for a minute?
Sure.
What's the biggest? I have not followed the Thunder very much. So I'll just ask you questions because I want your okay. I want your takes. I want you.
I'm fresh off a 2-hour pod last night. Down to Dunk and Daily Thunder, so I'm warm, I'm loose.
Yeah, you can be my Zach Lowe here for a few minutes. What's the biggest, most like sexiest trade out there for the Thunder to make right now?
Oh, there's really not one. I mean, sorry to be a party pooper, but I think what they're gonna do is they're gonna trade Steve Novak to clear cap space and save money. But I think the one deal they could make is dealing Mitch McGarry for something worth playing, because Mitch McGarry is not going to play for this team. He can't play for him because he's not in the rotation, and just that Billy Donovan's proven he won't play him at all unless it's garbage time. So I think they don't have a whole lot of flexibility as far as big time trades. I guess you could trade Serge Ibaka, but there's a 0% chance they're going to do that. But there's not a lot out there for them. I think it's going to be a boring trade deadline for them. Sorry to be a party pooper.
So there's nothing that they could do that would even help them with an eighth or ninth guy? I mean,
Well, I think you could trade Mitch McGarry. They do not want to trade Campaign. Their backup point guard is a rookie who's awesome. They're not trading him. The guy they could trade is Mitch McGarry. Now, what his value is probably at an all-time low. He hasn't played all season. What could you really get a guy, an eighth or ninth guy that could play? I don't know. I would say no. And another problem is during the playoffs, they're only going to play 8 or 9 guys. Like, the bench shrinks in the playoffs. They're going to play Kevin and Russ 45 minutes. So I think it would be great if they could go get PJ Tucker. Do the Suns want Mitch McGarry for him? I don't know. That's probably the biggest storyline, I guess, for the trade deadline is, do they move Mitch McGarry and what do they get for him?
Yeah, that didn't do much for me.
Yeah, that's the flashiest thing that could happen, and I don't think that's going
to
happen.
I wanted to hear a 3-way trade like involving Kevin Durant and Blake Griffin.
They're not trading Blake, and they're definitely not trading Kevin. But I do think that I lost my train of thought. What was I going to say? I can't remember.
Do you think there's any validity or any?
Serge Ibaka. Here was my strongest. I've been wanting to trade Serge for about half the year.
Really?
He's had a horrible down year. Now, as I explained on the podcast last night, I've stepped away from the ledge because I've tried to trade him multiple times, and he is such a unique player. You just cannot get equal value for him. Like, there's no guys who play the defense he does at his size and his position and can also shoot like he does. Like, he's just such a unique player, you can't trade him. My biggest problem with him was, he's supposed to be the third of this big three. Well, to me, this year he's been a role player.
Yeah.
At times he's been anonymous. And that's basically what he is. He's an elite role player. And once I came to grips with that, in terms of that, I'm fine now.
Which is fine, because you have two of the four best players in the league.
Right, exactly. And Serge embraces his role, too, which can't be understated enough. You look at all the other big threes there's ever been, the third guy usually isn't very happy. Like, look at Kevin Love right now in Cleveland. So.
Yeah.
So that was kind of my thing with the Thunder all year, is I haven't really been that pleased with Ibaka. But once you kind of go through trade, we went through a bunch of trade scenarios for him. They're just not, it's just you can't quite get equal value for him.
But how much, okay, the one of the things I wanted to ask you about, how much is there to this Durant to the Warriors thing, that not, obviously not via trade, but after the season?
I don't think there's a lot to it at all. I mean, I think, yeah, of course, like, he becomes a free agent, he would be interested in the Warriors. Of course, he wants to go win a ring. Like, I don't, there wasn't really enough in that story to make me feel anything about it. It was just kind of like, oh, well, he would be interested in the Warriors, but if he leaves, which he might not. You know what I mean? Like, it to me, it would seem like a timing is everything thing. They were about to play the Warriors, yeah. Super Bowl Sunday. The vertical was just debuting with Woj, who I love Woj. He's the man. But it seemed to me kind of a let's make a splash more so than there was any meat to it. Now, when Kevin goes down that road, and he's not right now, I think the Warriors will definitely be one of his top two.
Can you imagine? Steph.
Yeah, and
KD.
Do you think he would do that? Like, I have a hard time seeing Kevin doing the, well, I can't beat him, so I'll join him thing. It's just not who he is.
I think about this in terms of, like, my job. Like, would I want, not that I'm the KD of my job, but, like, that sounds terrible. But, like, I guess the question is, would I want to join other, like, great writers and team up, or would I just want to be known for doing my own thing? And I think personally, I would want to join up with other great writers, but I don't know. The parallel, I mean, it probably that
well, exists. it makes your life, your job easier if you're working with great people. Now, playing with the Warriors would be a lot of fun. I think Kevin would like that. I do wonder how he would fit in with them, because he's a very ball dominant guy, and the Warriors, as you know, just spread it around like no one's business. But I don't know. I think Kevin's staying, but I do think that the Warriors thing would intrigue him for sure. Now, it would be interesting to see how the Warriors fit him on their roster. I know the cap's going up, but the Warriors, very much like Russell Wilson with the Seahawks, have stumbled upon something that never happens. They've had the Seahawks had a franchise quarterback making like $400,000 a year.
Yeah.
And so they were able to spend money virtually everywhere else. This is why they had such a great team. And the same thing with the Warriors. Steph got hurt a bunch with his ankles, so they got him. He makes like $11 million a year.
Yeah.
It's stupid. So that's how they are able to pay Iguodala huge money, who comes off the bench. So I do wonder, like, that's really the way the Warriors have become what they have, is they got very lucky with, A, drafting Draymond Green in the second round when everyone passed on him, and B, that Steph took a discount.
Yeah, I just I don't know. Steph and KD on the same team is pretty insane. I mean, KD's at least staying next year, right? Like, he's just going to sign that 1 year deal, and
yeah, like it's almost a certainty that he's going to sign a two year deal with a 1 year option. That way he can make the most money possible. He'll make like an extra $30 million or something crazy. So
right.
of course,
I don't know why people think that that's not going to happen. I guess.
Yeah, and like I talked about this last night. It's like people don't even like Thunder fans like haven't even like it's been talked about ad nauseum. Don't you know this by now? But they're still treating the end of this year like it's doomsday, you know, like this is the year.
Like there's like a 99% chance of that happening, I feel like.
Yeah, I would even say 100, but
yeah. So
which will make the year after just insane, because you'll have Ibaka,
yeah,
Russ and Kevin all free agents.
Yeah, that's crazy.
Talk about doomsday. I might not have an off day.
Well, I haven't followed the Thunder as much as I have in the past, but I am excited for their NBA Finals appearance against the Warriors, because whoever wins that series is going to win it all.
Western Conference Finals.
No, I mean NBA Finals. Because whoever wins that series is going to win it all.
Right. Like, they're going to be. Although, do you remember, Cleveland gave the Warriors a lot of trouble without Kyrie and without Kevin Love. Like, I know the Warriors have been off the charts good this year.
Yeah,
but that was a series.
Have you seen
best players?
The Cavs Warriors games, the two games they played this year.
Yeah, wasn't pretty.
No. I just think whoever.
Well, the Thunder play the Warriors not this Saturday, but next in Oklahoma City, Saturday primetime on ABC. That will be spectacular.
Yeah,
we're doing a pregame show for that one since it's on our channel.
That'll be awesome. I just think that whoever wins that Warriors Thunder series, if and when they get matched up in the playoffs, is probably going to win it all.
Yeah, and it's been that way for a while with the West. You know, with the West, the favorite. It's just, God, the West is such a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Nobody even talks about the Spurs, and they're like 3 or 4 games back.
Yeah, I know. It's crazy. So, okay, we got anything else on the docket? What are you doing this weekend?
Oh, just working, anchoring. We got the Thunder versus Cavs on ABC Sunday afternoon. We'll do a pregame show at 1:30. I encourage everyone to watch. It'll be a lot of fun. LeBron in the house. I get to watch LeBron and Kevin go at it again. There's a different air in the building when LeBron's in town.
Yeah.
It's pretty special. And I got awesome. I got to go to Cleveland last year and see him in his own element. So
in his natural habitat.
Yeah. And it was like the game, I think Kevin came back from injury briefly and then before he had another foot surgery. So
yeah.
It'll be fun to watch when King James is in town. I'm up for it, so it'll be fun.
Well, I've got a thrilling OSU Tech game on Saturday night that I'm covering, so that'll be fun.
Hey, Tech's rolling right now. They beat OU.
Yeah, they did. They beat Iowa State and Baylor too, didn't they?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's not good for Oklahoma State.
That game's in Stillwater?
Yeah. I think it's 8:30 on Saturday night.
8:30?
Yeah.
You drew that straw?
Yeah. Well, I had to trade out of the Big Monday game because I had to trade out of the Kansas Big Monday game because I was at the Nike event in LA.
I hear you.
Yeah. By the way,
well, good luck with that.
The Nike event that I went to, I'm not positive about what they're doing. I know we're both Nike guys, but
was it golf? Was it just golf stuff or was it everything?
And like all their dudes looked like, I mean, it looks like they're starting a boy band. Like they all had
Lame Ricky.
Yeah, they all had joggers on. They all had their
oh no.
Like khakis like rolled up to their calves.
What?
Yeah.
This is all Ricky's fault. You got to blame him.
Dude, it did not. I mean, I appreciate what they're doing. I just don't know that it's my style. Although we got some pretty sweet Nike shoes.
Oh, you got free stuff and you're complaining?
Yeah, swag bag.
Well, do they realize old men for the most part play golf, not 25-year-old dudes who are in shape?
Well, but that's the thing. I think they're sort of like trying to market it to 25-year-old dudes who are in shape. And
like we're already like, I say we, I'm not even in that demographic anymore, but they're already in on the swoosh. Like you don't, they take zero convincing. Just they're in. They don't have to market to that.
I'm gonna send you the photo shoot of the dudes that were. It was Brooks Koepka, Tony Finau, and a couple other guys you haven't heard of. But
I'm gonna Photoshop your face on one of the dudes.
it's got to be on Koepka because he's in the front and he's got like a driver like over his like hanging onto it on his shoulders
like a lumberjack.
Yeah, like just showing off the guns. It's pretty funny.
Oh my.
So okay,
all right, man.
Good stuff. Thanks for holding it down while I was gone.
And, yeah, for sure. We'll give you the rights back to the podcast now that you're back.
I appreciate that. Can you get Boone to text me the passwords, actually?
Okay. I'll see if he can forward those on to you.
All right. We'll talk to you later.
All right, man. See ya.
Bye.